All right, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. As we continue our study in this wonderful book, this prophetic book, just went through chapter 12, which really is giving us a lot of background for what we're going to see in this chapter and on, further on. Remember, we talked about the wonders in heaven and the woman in the heavens, Israel, the great red dragon, Satan. We talked about the war in heaven. We talked about the woe, the word, the war on earth. We talked about the devil being cast down to earth, no longer in the heavens. So we come to chapter 13, and we get a more detailed view, perspective of what the devil is doing on the earth, what it's going to be like. There's this unfolding of a drama that involves people and Satan working together. A powerful worldwide influence that the devil will project upon the entire earth. It will be difficult days. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, read along with me as I read. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. All right, so we're introduced here to a beast that rises up out of the sea. When we think of a beast, illustrations often put in our heads these horrendous looking creatures, and indeed this does sound like a horrendous creature, doesn't it? Now, this is a vision that John is seeing, and when you're studying these kinds of things and prophecy and visions, we have to understand, why is it that God is choosing to communicate in a vision and using these pictures and these terms to describe things? John is following after a predecessor. Now, of course, this is an inspiration, this is under the inspiration of God, but there was a prophet that came before him through whom God spoke similar visions involving beasts. But yet we see that those beasts represented God or the devil at work on the earth through people and specific individuals, and through people of authority and people of power. I'd like you to turn to Daniel chapter 7. I'd like you to see some of the similarities between Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel chapter 7. When you're studying Revelation, it's important to keep your finger in the book of Daniel, because Daniel really is the revelation of the Old Testament. And in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 1, we read, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. and four great beasts came up from the sea, different one from another. The first, verse 4, was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof was plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to him. Behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear. Verse 6, and this I beheld unto another like a leopard, another beast. And in 7, and after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. You just notice right off similarities, same descriptions as far as animals are concerned. Although Daniel sees 4 different beasts, you notice that the leopard is used, the lion, the bear. And that is also what you see in Revelation chapter 13, those same creatures. You see him visualizing a beast or beasts, and these beasts represent kings and kingdoms. You look at verse 15 of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7:15 says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You'll notice there that these are kings. So as Daniel asks for the interpretation and understanding of this vision, he is told that these beasts are representing people, men of authority, men who are rulers of the earth, who will exact wrath and power upon the earth and upon kingdoms and peoples. You notice that Daniel is very troubled by this. This is troubling to him because these are not things that he would wish upon anybody. These are hard things, and these are hardened people that are ruling. And that fourth beast is described as extremely dreadful. Verse 19, and I would know the truth, the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up before him, whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had the eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, I share that from the book of Daniel to help you understand and help us realize what's going on in Revelation chapter 13 and following. There's these beasts that will appear that are entering into this prophetic scene. And these beasts are representing men, people of great authority, through whom Satan, the great red dragon, is seeking to work his evil. Because remember, Satan has been cast down to the earth, and he is making war. There's been a woe pronounced upon all the inhabitants of the earth because the devil is angry. And so the anger of this being, the great red dragon, is exerted upon the people of the earth. And we know that he has but a short time. He has a limited window in which he is able to do his work. And so chapter 13 helps us and opens up for us what his work looks like. This beast that rises up out of the sea is different than the great red dragon of chapter 12. This beast rising up has 7 heads, 10 horns. His horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. This is an individual who is empowered by the dragon. Verse 2 tells us that the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The devil is now on the earth, and he's working among people. And so now an individual has been given incredible power, has been given a seat, that is, a place from which to rule, a legitimate position in the world of authority. And that authority is great. You see that he's got the 7 heads, the 10 horns, and the 10 crowns, and you might say, well, there's no human being that's got 7 heads, 10 horns, all that stuff. Yes, I agree with you. These are representing what the various different powers and kingdoms that this one will rule over. In other words, there will be many kingdoms that come together under his power and his authority. Another important observation to make from this is the names of blasphemy that are upon his heads. What is blasphemy? Well, blasphemy is slander. And in the scriptures within this context, is these are slanderous things against God. These things are viewed as things that are not fitting to be spoken or said of God at any time. And yet this one has these things as his label. This is who he is. His identity is one who despises the one true God. He blasphemes him. He speaks openly against the God of heaven. Well, this is going to have a profound effect upon the earth. As we read through this chapter, you will notice that the people of the earth become enamored with this ruler. They are deceived into thinking that he is the answer, into thinking that he is the great one who will solve their problems. He is the one that will bring an end to the horrific judgments from God, the wrath from God upon sin. Notice with me these various scriptures. In chapter 13, in verse 15, notice what it says. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that men, as many as would not worship the image of the beast, should be killed. Notice the mention of the worship of the beast. And we'll talk more about the image of the beast, but I want you to notice the emphasis upon worship. In chapter 14, the same picture continues, and you notice in verse 9, chapter 14, verse 9, it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. There is going to be people who are worshiping this beast. Chapter 14, verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. chapter 15 and verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. A group of people who did not worship the beast. It was an environment where people were being pushed to worship this one. Chapter 16 and verse 2. And the first one and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This beast, back to chapter 13, this beast is somebody who will get the attention of the people of the world. He will be someone who the people of the world will wonder at. They will find amazing. You see in verse 3 of our text in Revelation 13, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world, what? Wondered after the beast. You see, he's going to have this pseudo-miracle where he has this deadly wound, and it's amazing to all the world that he is healed of this. And this just exalts him in their view all the more. In verse 4, we see, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so the worship continues. And so there was given, verse 5, to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue those 42 months. Now that 42 months is a time frame, isn't it? And what have we learned about time frames? Time frames are those things that God is using to remind us that he is in control. To remind us that he is setting all of these things and their limits. He's establishing their boundaries. And the devil will have a limited time, a short time. 42 months is about 3.5 years. And so the earth is going to be under the heavy rule of this individual for 3.5 years. In verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I mean, this is worldwide. This affects all kindreds, peoples, tongues, nations. Wow. It's hard to imagine what this is going to be like. In verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall what? What's it say? They shall worship him. But there's a qualification in this verse. All people upon the earth shall worship him. Now listen, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Well, that means that there will be people on the earth at that time who will not worship the beast. And they will not worship the beast because they are God's. They are his. And in this verse, we see this book of life of the Lamb. And it's got their names written in it. And they will be clearly set apart from the majority of people in the world at that time. They will not worship the beast. And the devil will war against them. And many will be martyred and killed. But it's a glorious thought to think about, isn't it? The name their names are written in the book of life. Whose book? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who's the Lamb? Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. And God knew all along that the Lamb would be slain. But he also understands and knows that the Lamb has a people. Has a people who are his. And God takes care of his people. But I want you to understand something. God's care of his people does not always mean that they will have perfect lives. Does not mean that they will always live in perfect environments. Does not mean that they will not suffer. Does not mean that they will have hardships or not have hardships. It means that he has their eternity in his hands. And it means that their lives will be used for his honor and for his glory. It means that you will be cared for by the Almighty God in and through whatever trials and sufferings you may confront. I say all of this because I'm trying to understand and put myself in the shoes of these remaining people upon the earth who choose to not worship the beast, but to continue to worship God. The evil they will know will far surpass the evil of our day. It will be more confronting. It will be in their face. And yet they are resolved to live for their God. What about you? Are you resolved to live for your God today? In a world that, yes, is full of evil, but pales in comparison to what we're reading here in the book of Revelation. You see, this is not here. We're not at this point. But God has called us to live faithful lives for him. You see, the next verse is what I call a narrative interlude. It's in the midst of this vision, and John, the narrator, the one that through whom God is using to put down these words on paper for us, he says this: if any man have an ear, let him hear. And to me, and it should to you, that should be a direct application of finger pointing at your heart from God, saying, now listen, what's going to happen in the future to these people? Listen now and live faithfully for the Lord now. And understand and be comforted that if God takes care of his own in those days, surely he's taking care of his own today. Are you his? Are you his? I mean, we've talked about this as recently as last week, because the devil is going to make war against the remnant of the seed of the woman, and they are known by two things. Do you remember? They are known by they keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The last verse of chapter 12. That's what they're known for. And the challenge last week continues this week. Are you confident that your name is there in the Lamb's book of life? The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb that God knew would be slain. The Lamb whose name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, gave his life on the cross. Never did anything wrong, never sinned. But he gave himself that you and I might have forgiveness of sins. You see, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You know, that rings true with several statements that the Lord Jesus had to say. Remember at the end of Matthew chapter 7, He gave the story of the wise man and the foolish man. Kids, you should know this. There's a song about it, right? The wise man builds his house upon the what? On the rock. The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood what? Firm. But the foolish man, what? The foolish man built his house upon the what? The sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the sand went flat. And Jesus used that to teach this truth. The wise man is the one who hears my word and does it. And the foolish man is he who hears my word but does not do it. James speaks of this. James says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." And so now, as we realize what the tremendous wickedness is going to be taking place upon the earth under this rule of this satanic empowered individual who will rule across the world, we're realizing these people were marked who stand for God by keeping God's commands and by having the testimony of Jesus. And so the admonition to the church today is pay attention to this. He who has an ear, let him hear. See, that stands out in the midst of this vision. He's seeing this beast, he's seeing this picture, but then he interludes, he stops, and he says, "Now listen, church, listen to this. Be people who are standing up for God. Find comfort in that God has your name written in his book of life." How can you be confident of that? Do you have the testimony of Jesus? Is the Lamb of God, the one who was slain on the cross, shed his blood, is he your Lord and Savior? The Bible tells us in that verse we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Everlasting life is God's gift through Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you marked by a life that's lived for him? I trust this is your testimony today. Lord, thank you for this precious word of God. And I thank you for grabbing our attention again today, that Lord, the future holds some horrific things, some horrific times. But God, in the midst of this description, there's this beautiful nugget of comfort. Thank you for the Lamb. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the resurrection, that you are alive today and that you are coming again. To you be all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.